إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, the first ayat which is part of the Masnoon khutbah for Nikah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. We hear this ayat in every nikah khutbah that we attend. Those of us who are married hopefully also heard it in their own nikah. The issue is not whether you heard it or not, or how many times you heard it, but whether you understand what you heard, and then whether you remember what you heard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is not, it's interesting because it's, this ayah is used in the nikah khutbah and it refers to the nikah, but the addressees of the ayah are not the Muslims alone. Allah did not say, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. Allah said, Ya ayyuha nasu taqullah. So even though the ayat is not addressed to Muslims alone, the ayat is addressed to all of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to all of mankind, Ya ayyuha nas, O mankind, ittaqullaha, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is then saying that, Ya ayyuha an-nasu taqullaha rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. Who, Allah, who is your Rabb and who created you. Min nafsin wahidah, from one person. Wa khalaqa minha zawjaha, and created from him his bride, his spouse. So Allah said he created us from one person, and that person is Adam alayhi salam, and he created Hawa alayhi salam from Adam alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning two of his major acts of khudrat, which are to us miracles. One is the creation of Adam alayhi salam without parents, and the other one is the creation of Hawa alayhi salam, whose mother is a man. The Hawa alayhi salam came out of Adam alayhi salam. So she has no parents either, but she came out of Adam alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, from these two we created everyone else. We created the men and the women. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. We created from them lots of men and women. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, maintain the relationships of the womb. وَنِسَا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, again, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, maintain, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through whom you claim your rights. Have taqwa of Allah, through whom you claim your rights, meaning your conjugal rights, meaning your rights in marriage, and do not break and cut the relationships of the womb. So do not cut blood relationships. Inna Allaha kana alaykum raqiba, and remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches you, is watchful over you. Now, very important, as I said, to remember that this is the ayat which is used in the nikah, which reminds us that the nikah and the marriage is not just some fun and game that you get into and get out of, but it is something which comes with a lot of responsibility. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us against exceeding and going out of the boundaries. And specifically Allah is mentioning the boundaries of the nikah. And Allah is saying that you claim this right through Allah, so fear the anger of Allah if you break that right, or if you go against that right, or if you transgress those rights. And Allah is again warning us and saying that remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So whatever you do You might think you are doing it in the privacy of your home, nobody is seeing you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching you and He knows. And Allah also mentions the importance of the relationships of blood, brothers, sisters, parents, and so on, blood relationships. I remind myself and you that the rights that people have on us are things that we will be questioned for. And every right that a person has on you is your duty towards that person. So every right is a duty. So if my right on my wife is her duty to me, and her right on me is my duty to her. So that's why one of the things I remind myself when I tell people is I say, forget your rights, remember your duties. Because you will be questioned about your duties, not about your rights. And obviously, if everyone fulfills their duties, the rights automatically get fulfilled. People are sometimes overly concerned about rights. And many times people come and say, what are the rights? Please tell the men, what are the rights of the women? And vice versa. Point is that yes, they have rights and you have rights. But the reason the rights are not getting fulfilled is because you are not doing your duties. So if you fulfill the duties, the rights will get fulfilled automatically. So forget rights, remember duties. Because you will be questioned about duties, not about rights. So what are the rights of the wife on the husband? The woman has three rights on the man, which means the man has three duties on the woman. The first one is that the mahar should be paid. It is possible and it is legal to defray the payment for a while. But it must be paid, and the best thing is to pay the mahar at the time of the nikah, because that is when it becomes due. So to pay the woman her mahar is the duty of the man, and it's the right of the woman that she must get her mahar. The second duty of the man, which is the right of the woman, is that she should be paid what is called her nafqa. Nafqa is her spending money. Nafqa is not the money to run the house. Running the house is the responsibility of the man. Nafqa is her spending money. It is money which she has the discretion to spend any way she wants. People confuse this thing and they say, well, I'm giving her nafqa, and what's she doing with that? She's buying bread and she's buying rice and she's buying... No, that's not her nafqa. That is your responsibility as the man to run the house. That is not her nafqa. The nafqa of the woman is the money given to her, which is her discretionary expense. She can do what she wants with it, not run the house. And the third responsibility or duty of the man, which is the right of the woman, is that the man must love and honor his wife. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, cover her with mercy and love. Cover her with mercy and love. Very important to understand these three things. So, mahar is simple, what you agreed to, pay it. And pay it at the time you are getting married. If you don't have that mahar, then technically you should not get married, because the marriage becomes legal with the payment of the mahar. So if you don't have the mahar, then how do you get married? Yes, you can defray it and postpone it, but if you really don't have the money, then you really shouldn't get married, wait until you get the money. Second point is, with the nafqa, as I said, give her what is due to her. And the nafqa must be in accordance with your status and wealth. You don't give her, you know, $10 or something, that's not nafqa. So give her something which is in keeping with your status and wealth, so that your wife has enough to spend on herself. What she does with it is her discretion. This is one of the many rights that women have in Islam, which men should give them. Today, Islam has a bad name for oppression of women, not because of what the religion does, but because of what the men do. Muslim men do not give Muslim women the rights that Allah gave them. And for that reason, they will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make no mistake. If Muslim men give Muslim women the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them, then according to Maulana Abdul Karim Parikh used to say, rahmatullahi alayh, that if Muslim men give Muslim women the rights that Allah gave them. Then he said, I will guarantee you that every non-Muslim woman would want to enter Islam. That is the level of rights that Islam gives the woman. There is a famous story from the seerah of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who was not wealthy, and his wife Zainab was wealthy. So they were going through some hard times, because it's the complete, total, sole responsibility of the man alone to run the house, to look after the family. It's not the woman's responsibility. She need not spend one cent on it, even if she has it. So things were getting tough. So Zainab radiallahu anha, she asked Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, she said, can I give my zakat to you? He was liable to receive zakat, and she had to pay zakat because she had wealth. So she said, can I give my zakat to you? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know the masala. So she said, why don't you ask Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She said, I will not ask. You go and ask. He said, you go and ask. So she went to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That itself is a different discussion of why he sent her, why he didn't go and ask on her behalf and so on and so on. That's a different matter. But he told her, if you want to ask, you ask. I will not ask. So she went. And she, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his majlis. She announced herself. He said, who are you? She said, I am Zainab. He said, which Zainab? Because there were several Zainabs. So she said, Zainab, the wife of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is the issue? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I would like to know. My husband is poor and I have wealth. So I want to know if I can give my zakat to my husband. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you can give your zakat to your husband. The interesting thing is, in the Sharia, the husband is not permitted to give his zakat to the wife, because it is his responsibility to look after her. A son cannot give zakat to the parents, because it is his responsibility to look after the parents. But the wife is allowed to give zakat to her husband, which is proof that she is not responsible to look after the husband. She does not have to contribute to the house, to the running expenses of the house. If she gives it, it is ihsan. If she does it, it is ihsan. The right of the woman is that she is looked after by the man. So three duties of the men: pay your mahar, give her nafqa, and cover her with love and mercy. For the woman, again, three duties, which is the right of the man. The first one is that she must be loyal to him, she must serve him, she must protect him and his property. That is the first one. If she is disloyal to him, then she is going against the boundary that is due on her. And disloyal does not necessarily mean some sexual transgression. Disloyal can mean anything which impinges on his honor and which impinges on what he expects from her. For example, it is not permissible for the woman to entertain anyone that the husband does not like. So if there is some friend or whatnot, and if the husband doesn't like him or like her, the woman must not entertain that person in the house, must not invite that person. This is the right of the husband as the person, the man of the house. So she must, first one is be loyal to him, obey him and serve him. This is all three things. She must obey, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. Allah did not make the man and the woman equal. Allah made the man, gave him more responsibility on the woman. This is not a matter of equality or women's libra or whatnot. It's a matter of administrative authority that the man is being given over the woman. The man is not more of a human than the woman. In terms of humanity, they are equal. But in terms of responsibility, the man has the greater responsibility, where he has to look after the house, he has to take care of them, he has to provide for them, and therefore he has the authority over the woman. So therefore she must serve him, she must obey him, and she must protect him and his property. That's the first right of the man and the duty of the woman. The second duty of the woman is that she must teach the children. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said the woman has only one duty, and that is to teach the children, nothing else. He did not even say look after the man. But this is the ijma of the scholars, that the looking after the man is and obeying the man and serving the man is her duty because of what Allah said in the Quran. So the second duty of the woman is that she must teach the children. The upbringing of the children, obviously it is also the responsibility of the father, no doubt about that, but the primary responsibility is on the mother. So teaching the children, and in the teaching, of course, what comes first before everything else is to teach them the religion, to guide them, to teach them the religion, introduce them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, introduce them to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teach them salah, teach them to read the Quran, understand the Quran, and so on and so on. So this is the second major responsibility of the woman. And the third responsibility of the woman is again to love and honor her husband and to serve him and to protect his honor. This is very, very important. This is the responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the woman, for example, to serve the parents-in-law and to, you know, be an unpaid slave in the house. It is not her responsibility to do anything else. If she, and okay, having said that, we are not sort of saying that the woman must come and abuse the parents of the husband. Obviously not. It is not Islamic akhlaq to do anything like that. It is Islamic akhlaq to be respectful to elders, to serve them, to be nice to them. This is all, alhamdulillah, this is part of our culture. And she must do it and he must do it as well. But it is not her duty. If she does not do it, then the husband cannot demand that you have to serve my parents. It's not his, to serve the parents of the husband is the job of the husband. He must do it, and if he has to find help, then he must hire the help to do that. He cannot order his wife to do it, and his wife does not have to obey that order if he orders her. Islam gives the woman such rights that are today, even today we can't even think of them. Because, for example, one of the rights that Islam gives the woman is to demand a payment to breastfeed her own children. The woman can actually demand payment to look after her own children, because to look after the children is the job of the husband. And if he is not looking after, obviously he cannot, be there all the time. So if to look after the children, she can actually say, even though they are her children, but she can say, I want money for this. If she demands that, the husband has to pay. And that does not form part of the nafqa. That nafqa is separate. He has to pay her a salary to look after her own children if she demands that. I don't know if any woman ever does that. This is not what mothers do. But she has, Islam gives her right. Islam gives her this right that she can demand money to actually breastfeed her own children. This is the right of the woman. Islam gives women rights that even today are unbelievable and unheard of in any culture, in any society. And that's why I keep saying, if men give the rights that Allah gave them, there is not a woman in the world who would not want to be Muslim just for those rights. So these are the three duties and rights of the husband and the wife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat of Surah An-Nisa reminds us and warns us and says that remember that you demand these rights through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. What is it that makes a marriage legal is the fact that you do it according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah says, you demand these rights through me, so therefore be warned. Don't transgress those rights. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and never to be displeased with us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make our marriages a means of great khair and barakah in this life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world is a wife who is pious, or a spouse who is pious. A pious husband or a pious wife is a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that and to make us pious and to make us a source of khair for our spouses, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.